Mike's good. You know, this is pretty obvious. This is a prophetic day. And so I'm just going to go ahead and do what he put in my heart, and my message will come along probably next week or part of it this week. But what's been said about the storm, what's been said about the devil's attacking you? I read two prophecies this week, and I want to tell you something. For the last couple of weeks, I don't know about you, but I've been bombarded with the spirit of heaviness. Is anybody out there? Depression type stuff. It hadn't been in me. It's just been oppressing. And this word comes from Rick Joyner, and I want to read it, and I got another one. And what I want to read it for, I want to tell you this. Okay, this may sound negative, but I want you to understand something. We have the answer. And what he gave Marcia is the answer. It's the only answer. That's why he's given us the oil of joy for gladness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's the answer. And so we send Judah first and the battle will be won.
That's right.
We're going to praise and worship is the answer out of all this stuff. But he wants to keep your mouth shut.
Yes.
He don't want you praising the Lord. But I thought this was so interesting. If I can read it off my cell phone. Here we go. This is Rick Joyner. 2019, a study determined that America was the most negative country in the world. For most of our history, we've been known as one of the positive countries ever. What has happened just the last few decades has so radically changed our nature. A negativity is one of the great hindrances to the progress and well-being. This portends the very dark future for our country if not turned around. To do this, we must understand how it has happened to us and how the nation we have become defined more with what we're against than what we're for. Until recently, America was filled with vision, purpose, and was listed among the happiest nations of the world. Now, a harsh, angry cynicism casts a crippling doubt on everything and everyone. How could we go from the hope of the world to not even having hope in our own future, even despising our own country? Catch it, which is almost every measurable way, it's still the greatest country in the world.
Yes.
This is nothing less than a national case of depression.
Amen.
Now catch it. That's where this heaviness and this stuff's been. And it's we don't wrestle with flesh and blood.
Right.
It's principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness. It's trying to harass and oppress you.
Yes.
And I can verify that it's happening.
Yes.
Okay. Now, thing about it is, we don't have to put up with it. Okay. And then he goes on and says, this is nothing less than a national case of depression. He says, God has an answer. God said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not well, sin crouches at your door. And it desires, its desire is for you, but you must master it. He's given authority. This is the only psychological statement in the Bible. And the great champion of the faith concludes that it's because it is the only one needed. Could it be more simple? If we do good, we'll not be depressed. If we do bad, we will. As God's last statement to Cain states, we're the one who choose whether we live in the black hole of depression or we live in the joy of the Lord.
Yes, that's right.
I choose joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I believe this is a storm that's coming. Okay. This is the thing that's got to be addressed that's coming to America. And we may have mass deliverance before it's over with.
Yes.
America used to follow the Lord, seeking to know Him and to do His will. When the decision was made to listen to some of the worst among us and basically ask God to leave our land so that we could choose and do as we want, a terrible depression covered the land. The further we go have gotten from Him, the greater the darkness has become. Depression makes one prone to see darkness rather than light. The worst in situations of others rather than the good. A depressed person will look at something and see trouble, while a positive person will look and see the same thing as an opportunity and a possibility.
Yes.
This is why positive visionary people are the most successful to change the world for good. Depression so stifles the hope and faith that it primarily destroys all of life's purpose and accomplishments. Therefore, it's a serious condition for a person to fall into, but can be fatal for a nation. Now, before we get any more depressed
yes.
by this brief, America is still filled with more vision, purpose, and hope than any nation in the world.
Yes.
We are poised to have the greatest future and the most remarkable past.
Hallelujah.
Marx, now this Marxism, I don't want to read all of this, but they said they had a 100-year goal to take over the world. So we're going to do it little by little. So they're going to take over the media, the government, and the schools. Just a little by little. And it's been 100 years, coming up in 100 years. And he says, from the beginning, America has been the primary target they've touched on previously. And he says, they want to destroy it. Their main is to take over the media, education, and the entertainment industry.
Yes.
Through these three, they would gradually revise our history to make it, the good look evil and the evil look good. 100 years program that you're working on. This strategy says is actually it's prevailing. It's actually her. It's going there. Through the media, we'll have, if you want to get the whole thing, you can read it. It's in Elijah List. Okay. He says, through the media, we would have to think that the whole nation is now descending into chaos. It's only a tiny fraction of the people who are making all this noise.
Yes, that's right.
Come on.
Amen.
What did Elijah say? I'm the only one left. Oh, no, you're not the only one left. I want to tell you what. There's still plenty left.
There's still plenty left.
Yes. Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. Even though the leftist media has been resolute for so long trying to make America into what it wants it to be, only the young who are easily swayed and the naive, Lenin referred to these as useful idiots, have brought into the Marxist madness. The chaos and destruction is only making the rest of America wake up to the terrible evil that's happening. Because Marxist poison has been fed to the nation so long with the most potent coming in the last few decades, we have been weakened, no doubt perish if we had been allowed to go much longer. But it hasn't. It wasn't allowed until the ugliness of evil were put on full display.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it has been. We now have a great battle to fight, but America has an antidote to this poison. Abundant supply. America can now prevail in such a way that this evil will not rise here for very long. I hear a storm coming.
Yes.
I hear a storm coming.
A
righteous storm coming. And he says, America can now prevail in such a way that it will not rise for very long. Perhaps long enough for the kingdom to come and that it will prevail over all evil. Now I want to tell you something. What is the kingdom? Jesus says the kingdom is within you.
Yes.
The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is living with union inside of you.
Yes.
And if the Father and Son and Holy Ghost is living in you, it says, what is the kingdom? It's righteousness.
Yes.
The very righteousness of God. The peace.
Yes.
The peace that passes all understanding. And the joy of the Holy Ghost.
Preach it. Yeah. Let us have it all.
Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered.
Yes.
Let God arise. You got to let him. It's a choice.
Yeah.
You have a choice.
Yes.
What did Paul say in front of King Agrippa? He says, I think myself happy, old King Agrippa.
Yes.
You can think yourself happy or you can think yourself depressed.
Thank you, Jesus.
You have a choice.
Yes.
You have an old mind, but God gives you a brand new one.
Yes.
Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, appear, you're going to appear with him and come back and get the rest of us.
Hallelujah.
And I believe he's coming soon.
Yes. The shout of the Lord.
We're tired of it, and I know he is.
Oh, thank you, Father.
All right. So
what
does he say here? Wow, that's surprising. So arise and shine, Isaiah 60. For the light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Yes.
For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness of people. But the Holy Ghost, the glory will arise on you and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations will come to the rising of your shine. They will come to the light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They gather together. They come to you, for sons will come from afar and daughters will carry in your arm. Then you will see and be radiant. Your heart will thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea will be turned to you and the wealth of the nations will come.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Now, if that don't make you shout, I don't know what will. You know, listen, this is why this stuff is. It shows you things to come or what you're dealing with. Shows us what we're dealing with. It uncovers the plan of the enemy. So we have a plan. He has a plan, but we got a greater plan. All right, this girl, this is Lana Vosser from Australia. All right, listen to this. I picked this. She gave this to me. I'd already read this two or three times, and I went home. Jenna said, "Here's," and I looked down. This is what she said. "The Lord showed me there's a demonic assignment against God's people in this hour from the spirit of heaviness to bring weariness to God's people, to steal vision from God's people by locking them into the place of heaviness, hopelessness, and weariness. Last night I had a dream, and the theme of the dream was the roar of the Lord." The roar of the Lord. Woo! Why is that the roar of the Lord? Because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But he may not devour us. Amen. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction is going on through everybody else that you're going through, but the God of all grace, after you've suffered for a while, will make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. Casting all your cares, distractions on him. For he cares for you. Yes. Amen? Amen? He sat down expecting his enemies to be made what? Who's going to do it?
We.
Say, I will. I will. I will. I'll do my part. Amen? Amen. Whew. It's a roar. The Lord has sent it and he is roaring over his assignment. He's going to bring sudden deliverance. Yes. Did you catch that?
Sudden
deliverance. This attack from the spirit of heaviness has been so heavy on many that they're feeling like their life is being sucked out of them. Their joy, their vision, their hope for the new era is draining away day by day. They have to continually fight and continually to stay close to the Lord. Their hearts are weary, dry, and heavy. You know, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It says what? It says that Satan is out to wear out the saints of the Most High. His assignment is to wear out the saints of the Most High.
Yeah.
But
he can't.
Daniel chapter 11 says they that are strong will be our, and know their God will do exploits.
Hallelujah.
Now I want to tell you something. I know about the weariness, and I know when you get my age, you don't have the strength you once had. And it's aggravating, isn't it, Mike? But I want to tell you something. I've been in my office when we was doing deliverance on a little old 100-pound girl lifting up men sitting on her arm 250 pounds like they were nothing. Now I want to tell you, greater is he that's in you. That's he that's in the world.
Right.
You got the Holy Ghost living in you. How much more strength does the Holy Ghost have than the enemy? Don't worry about your strength, because your strength is made, your weakness is made perfect in his strength.
Right.
So we're living by the strength of another. We don't have to live by our own. Come on.
Amen.
Sudden deliverance. As the Lord rose, sudden deliverance. I can't help but preach a little between pages. The Lord roars and sudden deliverance takes place from this a demonic assignment against many. I not only saw the attack break, I saw the Spirit of the Lord bringing major deliverance and healing to the hearts. In the new era, we're going to see a wave of deliverance, I'm telling you.
Yes.
We've been talking, I've been feeling a long time this fall sometimes. Whenever we feel it's the right time, we're going to have a deliverance service to get rid of all this fear and all this depression and all this junk that's going on.
Yes.
Enough is enough. Unlike anything we've ever seen, we're going to see the most powerful demonstration of the power of God in the name of Jesus bring such significant deliverance that it will leave people in awe and wonder of our beautiful King. Now, it's coming. That's the storm.
Amen.
Not only is the Lord dealing with this demonic assignment of heaviness and weariness that's coming upon God's people, but he's also roaring and bringing healing to the hearts. And bringing deliverance in their lives of an unprecedented way. The Lord is strengthening his people again that are feeling battle weary, broken down, and in pain from the season. To grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty, the headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise for a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified, to console those who in Zion mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaven, that they may be called trees of righteousness. This is New King James. I keep hearing the Lord say, fresh wind. Fresh wind, fresh wind. As the Lord roars over his people, I saw fresh wind coming out of his mouth. As I looked closely at his mouth, I could see deliverance, healing. The wind coming out of his mouth at once. The atmosphere around me so full of empowerment. It was a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to bring forth strengthening to God's people, refreshing to God's people, life to God's people. They grow stronger and stronger with every step forward. And God and God of all gods will appear before them in Zion. Psalms 84:7. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. The voice of his thunder surrounded me. Get ready for gale force winds. Oh, come on now.
Hallelujah.
Friends, those of you who are tired, those of you who have been feeling the intensity of the assignment from the enemy, from the spirit of heaviness, those who are in pain for seasons past, get ready for gale force Holy Spirit winds.
Hallelujah.
There is a sudden deliverance coming upon you. Get ready. Encounter with power of his spirit on the scale you've never experienced it. This gale force winds are going to not only restore you, but to reset you. Reset. Retool.
Reset.
You're going to be empowered by the Spirit of God like never before. Your heart is going to be refreshed, strengthened, and you will be restored and going from strength to strength. The Lord showed me that the spirit of heaviness is connected heavily to many who are anointed to scribe the words of the Lord in this hour. That's the prophetic. The spirit of heaviness is coming against manuscripts, messages, sounds, the penning of the word of the Lord, whatever capacity has been penned. There's a major attack against the voice of God's people through decrees of the spoken word. Because thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. But I saw so strongly that the spirit of heaviness is coming against those who are called by the Lord to scribe the revelation of his heart in this hour. I heard the Lord speaking to these, take heart, dear ones, for as I roar over you and as my roar brings deliverance, freedom, and healing to you, I am igniting my roar within you. Okay. The roar of my voice shall come forth with greater clarity, sound, power, and purity. Though the enemy is attempting to hinder my roar through you, what did he say? I'm going to go with you. He's waiting on you. Okay. Through the enemy is attempting to hinder my roar through you, it has caused you to move into greater anointing to scribe what I'm calling you to scribe this error. And as I add recompense unto you, I was telling Marion, you know, our brother Wayne and Betty Ann's been going through so much. And God has anointed him the last 6 months to write, to scribe, write down. He's finished 7 books in the last 6 months.
Thank you, Jesus.
The first one's already out. The second will be out in a couple of months. Because he said God has kept him focused on this and not on what's going on around him.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. It's awesome. Okay. Friends, if that's you, do not withdraw from your assignment. Do not back down. Stay intensely in the word of the Lord. It's your life source. Whatever your intentional posture to remain faithful to the assignment of the Lord in your life, describe, remain there. Know that the Lord is roaring over you and sudden deliverance and recompense is coming upon you in the realms of revelation, deliverance, and power to walk in what he's called you to do. The confusion that many are facing is part of the assignment from the enemy to hinder your clarity and revelation. But the Lord showed me that as you sit before him, wait daily at his wisdom door. And what? Proverbs 8:34-35. Isn't it neat how the Lord works with all these things and just ties them all together? That's what happens. He is releasing this wisdom and understanding to you to scribe that which he is speaking and releasing. The fire is on the scribing. Holy Ghost and fire.
You have shifted. You have shifted.
Okay.
Have shifted. And it's time to shift the region in Jesus' name. It's time to shift the territory.
Oh, yes.
It's time to shift that territorial spirit of depression.
I agree.
And witchcraft.
Out of here.
Shift out of here in Jesus' name. We just give a lot of shift is what we do.
A lot of shift. Amen. Well, I actually think we need to go through some deliverance, but I really would like for us to wait until next week to get the rest of the saints need the much as we do. And then we'll do a bigger one later on when we know the timing's right. But you know, we've seen what the enemy's up to. We saw in California where the governor said, if you go to church, you can't sing. Come on. Why? Because the enemy don't want anybody singing. Because why? Send Judah first.
That's right.
The enemy hates worship and praise.
That's right.
That's the first thing we're going to do.
That's the first thing he takes out. Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. They said, shut it up and don't you be singing. It sounded like the book of Acts when the crippled man was healed at the going into the gate. They called Peter and John. Now, why are you doing this? And they said, well, it's your fault. You crucified the Lord of glory.
Yes.
And whom God raised from the dead.
Yes.
I mean, and he says, we don't want you preaching in that name anymore. And he said, what? We should obey God rather than man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they threatened him, sent him out. Don't you be preaching. And he goes back to his people in Acts chapter 4. Now listen what he said. After he preached to them a little bit. Verse 28, I want you to do what your hand and counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak Amen. Your word
Amen.
By stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders will be done by the name of the Holy Child Christ.
Yes.
Come on now. Boldness. And when they had prayed, just prayer, the place was shaken. A whole lot of shaking going on.
Amen.
Where the assembly was gathered. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Refilled,
yes.
Retooled, refilled.
Yes.
And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Yes. Thank you.
Alan,
it's
not time to be quiet.
Nope.
Boldness. Speak the truth with boldness.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's all refilled. And we need to be refilled.
Thank you, Jesus.
We need to be refilled.
It's the ride of the kingdom. We have that privilege.
We do. Receive, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. I just wanted to confirm what Dorman talked about, the importance of worship and the enemy, how he hates it. At this last walk I was on, we had two manifestations, like of demonic manifestations, people like growling and deliverance. They got set free.
Amen.
But which is kind of unusual at a walk. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a walk, but it's not. That doesn't. It happens.
That's about the last thing it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
It should be the first.
It should be the first.
Yes.
But they were full-fledged manifestations, and they both happened in the middle of worship.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
They both happened in the middle it's of perfect. Worship.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Those things cannot stand. They can't stay around in the presence of the Holy Spirit in worship.
Yes.
And so don't allow the enemy to shut you up.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Since he read Joyner, I wanted to tell y'all what happened practically there. 2 weeks prior to them having the strongest earthquake in that entire region of the country, his congregation were praying for boldness. If you read that story in Acts, it says the building where they were
shaken.
To nearly falling down. They had the strongest earthquake that region of the Carolinas, Georgia, Virginia, Tennessee has ever had. They prayed two Sundays before that. That Sunday morning, right as they started their worship services, when that earthquake came.
Wow.
That's a whole not a quinky dink. No. That's God.
Shaking everything that can be shaken.
Amen.
So I got my friend from Lubbock, Micah, and we drove over there, awesome. And the place shook. He ain't a very Church of Christ anymore. He's part of the Church of the Living Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Oh!
Amen.
You want to appear? It's kind of hard, though.
Oh, bless you, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like doing this. But
go ahead.
I just feel like the Lord's been telling me for, you know, since all of this, you know, we've been talking this morning about the return of the Lord. And, you know, the Bible, Jesus said that in these last days that before his return, it would be like, you know, a woman in labor.
Right. And
I think he just said that, you know, that he wants us to remember that here. And I think it's something we need to, you know, think about is that, you know, before a baby's born, there's pain and there's pressure. And then we need to expect things and they get more often and closer together and for us. But what the Lord's been telling me is
Lord.
Is just there in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled.
Yes.
And, you know, another translation says is not to let fear overtake us. Yeah. And that he said that we believe in God, but that we should also believe in him.
Right.
And that he's, you know, like Jenna and Alan were saying, that he's the truth, the life and the way, and that, you know, how we connect with Jesus and this earth is through his word. You know, the Bible said that, you know, that the word was made flesh, and it's how we treat his word and put our faith in God's word. And in that truth is where we connect with the Lord Jesus. And, you know, I think what it says in chapter 14 of John there, he says, I go to prepare. And he's already prepared.
It's prepared
for what's going to happen. And, you know, I think about, you know, before his crucifixion, you know, he was telling his disciples about what was fixing to happen. And even Peter and some of them rebuked him and said, Lord, that's not going to happen. And he said, you know, get behind me, Satan, because, and we need to think about that, even though we may go through some pressure and some hard times, the Lord has already prepared for what's going to happen.
Yes.
And that we not to worry about it.
Yes.
And he said, you know, he goes to prepare a place, and, you know, it's just neat to think about, if you look in Revelations, this place he's prepared for us in chapter 4. I want to read that, but, you know, the Bible says that we can't imagine how great heaven is, but I think the greatest place is going to be right there at the throne of the Father. And the Bible says in Revelation 4, and he who sat there was like a jasper, a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne. In appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their head, and from the throne proceeded lightning. Oh, thank you, Norman.
It's okay.
But
they're legal. They're sanctified.
Okay. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which were the seven spirits of God. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne there were, and around the throne there were four living creatures full of eyes, front and back, The first like a lion, the second like a calf, and the third like a face of a man, and the fourth like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they did not rest night or day, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come."
Come on.
Just think about, we have an appointment in that place.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen.
You know, like Jana was saying, we need to get our house in order right before, you know, when the Lord came on the earth and before he started his ministry and before he was crucified, the message was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yes.
And I think that's our message today for those that we need to repent and get our house in order, that we need to remind them how glorious heaven is and how wonderful Jesus is. You know, God didn't prepare hell for us, but we're gonna. There's some of us that are gonna put ourselves there if we don't put our faith in Jesus.
Yes.
And I think as we get that message out about how wonderful heaven is and how it's gonna be, you know, I've just thought about that. And Dorman mentioned, well, there's a song Christy and I listen to about a storm all about. Anyway, it's about, you know, the storm basically in heaven around the throne of heaven. You know, think about the Father there with angels flying around and they're crying, you know, glory to the great God Jehovah. You got the 24 elders throwing their crowns down, praising him. And I think about those four living creatures. It's going to be neat to see that. But, you know, they're crying, holy, holy, holy. And I don't think it gets old to them because I look at that as just saying they're looking in the past. They're looking in the currently and into the future. And they're just seeing all the great God things that God has done, his righteousness.
Yes, amen.
And his mighty works.
Yes.
And they just see something new of God all the time, and they're crying out,
yes.
Holy,
yes.
Holy,
holy.
Yes.
Yes. And then it's not a quiet place, it's a noisy place.
It's a noisy place.
Oh, hallelujah.
You know, we talk about, you know, the Bible says that out of God's hands sunlike splendors, you know, I think lightning's flashing out of his hands is the way I look at it. And there's smoke and there's, you know, angels flying around and there's crying and glory. And, you know, people are there just falling on their face because, you know, because of his glory. And it's just going to be such a neat place for us to go. And we've got an appointment there is what the Lord is telling me.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, Mike. Hallelujah. Anytime, Mike. Flowing.
The oil is flowing. It's
thank you, Lord.
It's a speedy recovery. It's supernatural, and it's a witness. And I tell you, you got hands to lay on people that got the same issues as you. Heal in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
I didn't want to come.
Who does?
Today we've heard about the fire, we've heard about the wind, we've heard about the storm, we've heard about the shaking, we've heard about the things that this isn't all from the devil. This storm that's coming from heaven is God sending his wind, God sending his rain, God sending his power, God sending his glory down. This is, and I felt God was saying, as long as we have our feet planted on the rock, have our feet planted on the rock. That rock is Jesus.
Yes.
We're not going to blow down. We're not going to be shaken. We're not going to be blown over with the wind or the shaking that's going on.
Yes.
We are having our feet planted in him. And as long as we stand in Christ, we're one with him. And that power, that glory, that power and that glory. We don't think about power and glory going together, but they're one. The power of God and the glory of God is happening, and it's in us, and we're planted in Him. And there's glorious things that we're going to see in heaven. But God is sending His glory now for the people around us. He's sending that. And He's sending us into the world, because this is what He's wanting us to do, is speak forth His power, speak forth His glory, and keep our mind and our heart and our feet planted in Him. And Satan will not be, he can't shake us loose. He can't. Because we're one in Him. And that's where, you know, if we know who we are, if we know who we are, if we know who we are, not just mental knowledge, but know who we are.
Can't be sure.
We're going to be okay. No matter what happens. No matter who's outside our windows, or no matter who's outside running around acting like a demon, because that's what they are. No matter what's going on, we're going to be okay, because we're in Him. So just let His power fill you. Lord, I just pray. Let's all pray right now. Lord, I just pray right now that the power, Your power, and Your glory fill us. Fill us up more. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up. Fill us up with boldness. Fill us up with Your power and boldness and Your glory, Lord Jesus. Let us be a shining light that will not be quenched. Our light will be shining for You, Lord. Lord, shine through us. Shine through us. Let our light shine. Let our light shine. Let our light shine. That they're going to be so blinded by Your light that they will see Your glory. They will see You, Lord. They won't see us. They will see You. Woo! Kashala kada radiyata ta. Okosha kaba da radiyana. Ikiki kia da la la ka. Ooh, shalaka ya na na, kula katata, ki na 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 ikikia. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. We're carriers of that light. You're not just a little flashlight. You are a beaming, huge light, because You're just like that lighthouse. That light on that lighthouse is huge. Amen. And it shines for miles and miles and miles. Jesus is that lighthouse in you. And we're beaming with His love and His light and His glory and His power. Whew. I'm going to quit preaching.
Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Hebrews says He's going to shake everything that can be shaken. So that which cannot be shaken may remain firm and not moved, because we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. Well, let's stand. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, and He's making His face to shine upon you with glory. He's lifted up His countenance on us and given us peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So I say I bind every spirit of depression, every spirit of heaviness. I command you to go, not on our watch. We command you to go in Jesus' name. You got to go. Memory loss. Every bit of this, every bit of you demonic forces, sudden deliverance come. Sudden deliverance come. Amen in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You're dismissed.